Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. I'm going to move even slower because so many people aren't here. Acts chapter 15, what have we been doing? Well, we've been looking at the first great crisis in the church. There were many. The killing of Stephen. The scattering of people. The saving of Cornelius. But Cornelius was kind of like the foreshadowing of a great crisis in the church. What is that crisis? It was mostly one ethnic group. You ever notice that about churches? Why are they just one ethnic group? Most of the time. Maybe it's because we have different worship styles. I don't know. But birds of a feather in church tend to what? Flock together. That's why I like our church, because we do have a Heinz 57, the Philippines, Guatemala. Where are you from? Even Italy. The church is struggling because they don't know what to do with the fact that he really wanted all the Jewish people to believe in Jesus, and due to God's design and also human sinfulness, the mission of first missionary journey was greatly successful. A lot of Gentiles believed, but when they went out, few Jewish people believed. Dave, why do you think they didn't believe? Well, on a God's level, God plans, but there's also human responsibility. I don't think Jesus was the kind of Messiah that many wanted. If you had suffered, what if the Chinese took over our country and we had communist Chinese soldiers or the Russians on our streets? Remember 1984, Red Dawn? Movie got panned. The Cubans came up into the middle of America and occupied. Do you think, I think the Americans would turn nastier than you've ever seen? Yes or no? Knowing some of the guys back in Alabama where I was, they wouldn't have a shot down in Bama or lower Alabama. Any troops that would be foreign would be taken out in the most horrific way you can imagine, because there are some mountain men down there. But when you present Jesus, here it is. Let's go over this. Hi, I've got wonderful news for you. What's your name? I'm Paul the Rabbi. I got a wonderful news. The Savior came. Oh, really? When are we going to kill those Gentile dogs? Jesus had a different plan. The Messiah had a different plan. He loves and wants to include them. What? I got news for you. Moses is over. What? I got news for you. God says anybody can be chosen. What? We're special. That's why a lot of people like the idea that they're the lost tribes of Israel. So what does that mean if you're from the lost tribes of Israel? By the way, have you ever heard of the British Israelite theory? Everybody looked at me like, he's lost his mind. The British Israelite theory? There is a theory that the 10 lost tribes, nobody accepts it except a few. How many remember Gene Scott? Anybody? 1-800-338-3030. Get on those phones and call me. I used to call up and donate money in people's names. Gene Scott, remember? Remember? I called up and said I was her brother and I'm going to give you $1,000. And then he kept getting emails saying, you haven't paid the $1,000 you promised us. Oh. But as my wife tells me, those who live by the sword, die by the sword. I got to remember that. So anyway, the British Israelite theory essentially says that if you're of British background, Scottish, British, you are, and Irish, you are one of those lost tribes. But I got a problem for you. Excuse me, if they're lost, how do you know you found them? Everybody likes to be special. It's no different. You tell them, I've got great news. Jesus died not only for your sins, but for the sins of the whole. What do you mean he died? We want a Messiah who's, as Linda Mattia would say, Absalom. Here. You ever look at it, Fabio? Ladies, those romantic novels that you, Fabio, who, what did you see in this guy named Fabio with the hair and the, I don't get it. But anyway, we want Fabio. We want someone that will give us great victory. That's why I love Jesus' new covenant. It was designed in God's love for everyone. And then the idea that their Messiah would have been crucified would have really been offensive, because crucifixion is the most heinous way to go. If you're going to get killed in the Roman Empire, anything, beheading, anything but crucifixion, which was reserved for the worst dregs of society. It is humiliation. This is the kind of Messiah. So you have to understand, on a human level, there were factors. But the Gentiles, God was moving, and they saw. You know, Roman religion was crazy. Do you know what they would do in Roman religion? They had these crazy things. I was in my doctoral study, and we had to study these pagan religions. And you want craziness. Some of these religions, the Eleusinian Mysteries or the... I forget which one it was. I'd have to go get my notes again. They would, if I can find them... That's another thing. I took a lot of my office home. I can't find anything anymore. It was there, and I probably could have found it, but now I can't find anything because they made me clean up my office. Once you clean up my office, I can't find anything. So anyway, some of you will understand. By the way, University of Chicago professors, have you ever seen University of Chicago professors? Absolute, it looks like a garbage dump. And those are the guys, the crazier a professor is, it indicates a lot. The more neat a professor is, he's spending or she's spending all of their time organizing, getting nothing done. It's true. Where was I?
Notes.
Huh? Oh, the Eleusinian Mysteries. Thank you. Here's what they would do. They would take a bull. They first of all dig a trench in their temples, outside their temple. And on certain times of the year, they would take a bull. How they did that, I have no idea. But a bull. And then they would have a trench going underneath the bull. The bull would be up like this. You'd walk underneath. Oh, Rome was crazy for this stuff. Everywhere. Religious people are? I tell you that. So they would put the bull up here, and they'd have people dressed a certain way in white, if I remember correctly. And they would be lined up to be anointed. And so what they would do is the priest would take the bull, cut its throat, and the blood would drip down onto the white dressed, robed people. And that was promised to give them somehow some special thing. If that's the, you know, so when the Gentiles heard this, they go, God using his spirit, the Christianity made, they realized the truth of that all have sinned, and that they saw this and they responded. And so the more Gentiles were believing, they had to have a sit down. The rule was for the fundamentalists, keep the law. What was that dirty little secret now you know about keeping the law? They couldn't do it. So now they've got to decide, how are you saved? That's a key question. You know, when people join our church, we ask for their testimony. And one of the reasons why churches do that is, do they truly understand how someone is saved? Isn't that, if you want to have a proper relationship with God, that's what religion is about, except for making money. By the way, colloidal silver, Jim Baker, never let a crisis go without waste. I can expect Alex to do that, but the preachers get on that, it really irritates me. When we ask for a testimony, we want to see if you know how someone has a relationship with God. Here's what you'll hear sometimes. I'm a good person. Well, now we know from the Bible that being a good person doesn't really count at all with God. For all have what? Sin. And are, the Bible says in Romans, continually falling short. No one can measure up. So the question has to become, Christian, how are you saved? Well, Romanism, let me just pick on people. You know I'm in trouble. Romanism will tell you that the church saves you. So if you tell us, I've joined this church because church membership saves me or I want to be saved, we immediately know that there's a problem. That's because the Romanist church will tell you you need Rome and its sacraments to be saved. You say, wait a second, Dave, didn't they decide that back in Acts 15, how to be saved? No, they don't care. Men want to control you in religion. Did you know that? Religion wants to control you. Christianity wants to free you. So how does Romanism and others keep you in control? They don't do it by love. They do it by what? Fear. Law. The way you can keep people in control is if your church says you need to be members of our church. By the way, Church of Christ. Anybody ever belong to the Church of Christ? If you're not baptized in the Church of Christ, you have to be rebaptized because the baptism didn't count. Because they're the only church in the world that's true. So what does Rome say? We're the only church in the world that's true. You need to join the Romanist church. Only our things that we do count. If you're outside of the Romanist church, you're not a member of the Catholic church, you are not what? You are not saved. Because only they can offer salvation. But listen to me, the church doesn't offer salvation. The church is a result of salvation, not the cause of salvation. You're here because you've already been saved. So then what do? They say that you need to have some guy dressed up like a woman in gold jewelry and flowing garb with this weird hat. He's got special magic that they can convey to you. Do you realize how stupid this is when you start? I've ruined Christmas. I've ruined Easter for you. Now I'm going to ruin the preachers that dress up. Do you know why preachers dress up with a suit and a tie or with a uniform? Now, don't get mad at me. Sometimes it's cultural and they don't realize. But most of the time they're trying to say, I know things that you don't and you better listen to me. They do this. So then they tell you this. You need sacraments. And you need at least six of the... How many sacraments? You need at least six. The seventh is you become a priest. Sorry, ladies, you're stuck at six because the Roman Catholics won't let you become what? So here, here's how you get saved in the Romanist church and stay saved. Sacrament means you actually, by doing this, get brownie points from God to be saved. And you lessen not your time in heaven, but your time in purgatory. Because everybody in Romanism goes to purgatory to pay for the sins that they did after they were saved. So that means they're saying to you, Christ didn't die for all of your sins. So you first go and have the sacrament of baptism, infant baptism, confirmation, marriage. Who can tell me all the others? I was never a Romanist, but I've studied them. You have to have the sacrament of a priest doing your funeral. Very good. They told Steve that his father had X amount of sacraments, Steve told me, and that he needed to, the family needed to give $1,000. What was it? $1,000? Per mass, and he needed 300 mass. Thank you. Get this. We'll get your father out of purgatory. Who'd want their mother and father to be in purgatory, burning and suffering for purification? And what we do is we'll offer, and Earl's got to remember now, for every mass, it'll cost you $1,000, and we believe for 300 masses, we can get him out of purgatory. Now, what's the difference between that and Jim Baker saying, take my colloidal silver? No difference. It's just that they're a little smarter in how they do it. And if you don't have those done, the less sacraments you have, the more you what? Burn in purgatory. Do You like that theology? You say, Pastor Dave, show me in the Bible that. Please, oh, I'm frightened. Guess what? I got good news for you. It isn't in the New Testament. It isn't in the Old Testament. Then where did they get this stuff, Pastor Dave? From church tradition. How many have ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? One of my favorite movies. Tradition. Topol sings on top of the roof. This is where they get this. They make it up. Why do they make such things up, Pastor Dave? Because the only way to keep people truly under your thumb is to make them afraid and to say, you need us. You ever been to church? By the way, Protestants do this too, and various churches take subtle ways to do this. You've got to ask yourself when you're at a church, do those people in their preaching keep you in fear? Do they use intimidation? Do they use fear? Put their thumb on you. Because it can come in a variety of forms to control people. Our church is little, but I have good news for you. Paul and the apostles knew the answer. How are you saved and make yourself commendable to God? Here is the answer. Not by Moses, not by circumcision. Hebrews tells us Moses is over. By the way, you like the Ten Commandments? Technically, the Ten Commandments are gone. Oh, good. I can go do lie, cheat, steal. Well, no. Jesus put forth his commandments. And so therefore, if you love Jesus, you don't do those things, right? But Moses is gone. This is another thing that they had trouble with. He was proclaiming Moses and the sacrifices can't save you. Jesus was the sacrifice. So here is the answer to you that the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith. And that, meaning your salvation, your faith, everything, is not from you. Somebody read for me Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. Here is what the Bible says. Go ahead.
Ephesians 2, 8
through 10. Put some emphasis. For by God's grace you have been saved.
And not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
You can stop right there. You can stop. Because by the time of Jesus, the Judaism believed that the more good works you do, the more you get saved. Yourself is saved. So here is what they were doing. They were giving lots of money to the temple, lots of money to the synagogue, because they were trying to balance out their bad works with their good works. So what they would do is they would give money to the temple. That got them certain points. They would do other things that got them certain points because they had lost even the idea of Moses. And they felt that good works saved them. The good news of the gospel is, listen to me, you are saved absolutely apart from anything you do. It says that Jesus on the cross took every one of your sins. Where were you when he took your sins on the cross? So the whole of your sins were nailed, Colossians 2, to his cross. And he paid the full price for your sins. But then it says something else that you need to know. Not only for your sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Well, Dave, does that mean that everybody would be saved? Well, that's a nice thought. But the Bible doesn't support that. Anybody could get saved if they trust Jesus. Anybody. But if they don't, they don't get the benefits of what Jesus did. They have to trust in Jesus. But every last sin was paid on the cross. The Bible says you had a certificate, a criminal indictment against you in Colossians. Every time they crucified someone in Rome, they had an indictment written up so you could read while the guy hung there on the cross what he did to deserve what he got. A lot of trumped up charges in Rome too. And it would put the sin that they were killing him for. Jesus said, you're on the cross, you, to be punished for sin. He ripped that off your cross and said, I'll pay that. Anytime priests or preachers tell you that they have magic juju to get you out of purgatory or to save you, that's from the pits of hell. They can do nothing. They can only tell you that Jesus paid the price and that by trusting in Jesus, He paid the price. So when you come to Him, you've been saved by grace. What is grace? Grace is named after grace, and we named this church after Grace Anderson. I want you to know that. This is Grace Anderson Bible, Grace Anderson Bible Church. Gap. Grace, what does it mean? It means unmerited, undeserved. You get it in spite of the fact that you don't really at all qualify for it at all. God just says, I love you, you can have it. That's it. That's, don't, aren't you, you'd be new covenant people. If you were in Moses, what would you do? Grab an animal, kill it, take the sacrifice, keep doing it. You'll never get saved because the Hebrew says that they constantly were sacrificing because it never quite wiped away their sins. Jesus said, it says in Hebrews, once for all, that's it. But it must be accepted on the basis, this is one condition to getting God's full grace. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? You'll be what? There it is. That is what people must do. They must believe. I used to be at a church where if I said, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? There was a gentleman that would get up and rush my pulpit and say, you can't say, have you trusted Jesus Christ? Because God gives you the ability to believe, so it has to be if God opens your heart, it's all Him. Listen to me. No. Full responsibility in God's sovereignty. God sovereignly plans, you must what? Respond. You have to keep those two in balance. That's why I cannot qualify myself as a pure anything. I'm not a pure Calvinist. I'm not a pure Arminian or whatever you want to call these people. It's both. By the way, the Bible says God chose you in eternity past, yet in the pastorals it said God is not willing that anyone should what? Now explain that to me. Resolve that for me. Good luck. You don't know how many theological movements, church splits, and people have been killed over that issue. Religious people are? Sorry. It's both true. You have to believe. So the question becomes, if you're saved by God's grace and the way God activates His grace that you must believe, the question then becomes, have you believed in Jesus Christ and said, Lord, be merciful to me. I accept the salvation that you did for me by grace. Or are you saying, well, I was a member of the Catholic Church and I'm not picking on anybody. And they told me, so, you know, I'm trusting in their sacraments. I'll tell you who's going to be at the front of the line as God puts the lever on. First me, I'm a bad person. But then those priests dressed up. I can just see it as they walk up. You taught people that it was by you that they were saved. Stand there. And as he pulls back the lever and they go, the hat, the fisherman hat or whatever it is, flies up in the air and then wafts down the pit from all of that. You're saved and they knew it and the church had to settle this in Acts 15. This was the greatest crisis because it dealt with How is a person saved? By the way, communion. I think we canceled communion, haven't we? Okay, now, the reason why we can cancel communion and the Catholic Church struggles is this. They teach in Catholic, Roman Catholic Church, you have to have that. It infuses you with God's grace. It's a sacrament that infuses you with saving power. It's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, this do in remember. It's a memorial. So we can cancel communion because we know what the Bible says. It's a memorial. By the way, the church killed people on that. Even the reformers taught some level of taking communion, consubstantiation, somehow would infuse a person with grace. Even the reformers at first, because they were one step away from Romanism. Here's what the Bible says. You're testifying of what Jesus did. You're not getting what Jesus did through it. We're testifying and witnessing. Thank you, Lord, for your grace that we're saved by only what you can do. So when we can cancel communion because it ain't going to give you any points. You're doing it out of love to memorialize what Jesus did. But again, imagine everybody digging into that. I'm a germaphobe. Even with my own kids, if we buy a bag of chips, if everybody started into those chips, I cannot. That's it. It's nothing personal. If I do it with my family, you know, whatever, I can't help it. It's just me. I have a high self-preservation instinct. So here, what do you do on communion? We dig into the little bowl. So in order to prevent people, now, at the Romanist church, they give you wine, but it's not enough alcohol to kill the coronavirus. So here's what they're doing. And Linda can correct me because she keeps up, because she has friends in the Roman church. They are actually saying, we will give you the bread, but not the cup now. Isn't this what they're saying? But the problem is, under their theology, if you don't get the bread and the cup, you don't get saved, you don't get points. Now they got a real problem. See, the real truth of the Bible is simply this. Jesus died for you. Communion is a memorial. We're testifying. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done. That's what the Bible says. Then the next thing is baptism. Now, we sometimes do baptism up there, but baptism doesn't save you. But there are churches like the Romanist church. You need to be sprinkled as a baby. Baptized, that keeps you safe until the age of accountability. Okay, Pastor Dave, where'd they get that from? They made it up. Where did they get the idea of sprinkling babies? Well, they had a problem. You go up to him, Pastor, my little baby died. What happened to him? Preacher didn't know what to say because the Bible doesn't answer it. I think they go to heaven, but it's I think. Okay? I got in trouble in another church for not being so encouraging on that. But I believe they do. But can I show you a scripture verse? No. So the Romanists had a good idea. They sat there and go, I got people upset. So what we're going to do is say, you come to the church, we put water on the baby, and that saves them until the age of accountability. Where did they get that from? Scripture. They got it a little bit from our Jewish babies, male babies circumcised at 8 days. Yeah. So they said, well, we'll just make baptism the equivalent of that for the new covenant. They made it up. And they said, up until the age of accountability. I dare you. Go ahead. Those of you who have Bible programs, look up the word age accountability and see if the age of accountability in any sense comes up in the Old or the New Testament. Billy Graham used to preach this. Where did he get it? He made it up. It is not in Scripture. The reason a person is baptized is because they have decided to make a deliberate decision to follow Jesus. I went at church at 7 years of age to an altar. But David, you never give altar calls at our church. And I had a lot of complaints about that. Because I learned that many people end up going to the altar several dozen times, because with that altar call is the idea that God, you lose your salvation in between, so you better run down to get resaved. Religious people are. The way you're saved, Jesus said this, it's the soils. When you make a profession in Jesus, wonderful. But the sign of being truly born again is that you bear fruit and persevere. Now, that's not saying those save you. That's the fruit that is shown that you've been saved. There's fruit. Because now read 2:10. So here's why you do good works. Why do you give Jim Baker $1,000 for his colloidal silver? I'm kidding. You do good works because you're saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And out of gratitude for what you've done, I want to be loving like my Savior and show by what I do that I am thankful with gratitude for what you've done. They don't save you. They flow as a result. What's that say?
Be ye holy.
For I am holy.
Be holy, you will see God. You cannot see Him unless you are holy. And holiness comes from righteousness.
Right. And we do that as a result because it says in the Bible that Jesus Christ is our sanctification. So that means, by being in Him, we have holiness, but out of gratitude for what God has done, we try to behave ourselves.
Imputed.
Huh?
Imputed.
Yes, there's three levels, two of which are, I do it because it's been imputed to me. Thank you, Willie. Good theologian, Willie. That means Jesus has given me, when we're saved, His righteousness. What do you mean? Well, it's His righteousness, but He accredits it to our account. Then, as Marie said, out of gratitude for God, Jesus is saying, act like you're saved. Good luck. Because it's hard. How many of you say, Dave, I just can do holy acts all the time, and I'm just perfectly a saint? Thank you, Linda. I appreciate that you. No, I'm kidding, Linda. Nobody's going to say that. But you do with the power of the Holy Spirit, because if you love the Lord and He has asked you to be holy, you do what you can. That doesn't save you, but you'll have a struggle. How many of you struggle for holiness? That doesn't save you. It just says, God said, if you're going to be my children that I've done by grace, act like it. How many Christians do you think have ruined the testimony of the gospel for how they act? I could tell you stories of how actions by group, Christian churches and groups, have appeared toward unsaved organizations and totally discredited testimony. But we're not perfect. So what's the takeaway, Dave, from all of this that you've been doing? This was the key issue in the early church. How are you saved? And I stop here to tell you this because what did the fundamentalists say? Get under the law. Paul, the other disciples knew this, and even James. That we are saved, we're going to find this out next week and the week. We're saved by solely the grace, unmerited favor that God gives us. So here's what you have to do. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have nothing in myself that is commendable to you. I ask for your grace to forgive my sins, of which I am not worthy, but I know because Jesus loves me, you will give. Jesus said, he who comes to me, I will what? In no way what?
Cast out.
Reject them. And that's how you say, this is key. Acts 15 is the crescendo to that issue. You say then, Pastor Dave, how come you mentioned Christian churches after that that don't get that right? Well, to tell people they are saved by grace removes a lot of the authority of religious bodies to keep you under control. So they invent other ways to do it. And that's where we're at.